This is the spring semester, three semester hours, 1985. This is class number one in the spring semester of January 17, 1985. Lesson numbers 23 and a half to 24, pages 77 through 81, paragraphs 176 to 188. This is the Baptist Bible Seminary, sponsored by the Bible for Today, directed by Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today. We're using the Beginner's Grammar of the Greek New Testament by William Hershey Davis as our grammar for this course. Let's open with a word of prayer as we begin our class this evening. Dear Lord, we thank Thee again for these men who have taken their time and their funds and their efforts to study this language. We thank Thee that we can know more deeply Thy truth from the Hebrew and from the Greek if we become diligent students of these languages. Give us hearts that are open to Thy truth. May we be guided by God the Holy Spirit, and may He help us in this lesson as we begin our spring semester tonight. Be with the other men who are not with us tonight, with Larry and with Phil. Keep them safe from harm, and keep Manny and Steve also safe from harm as they go back in the snow conditions to their homes this evening. Thank You for all Thou hast done for us in times past to keep us fervent, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Church, and our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. All right. Tonight, we are going into 23 and a half and 24. Is that correct? And that means the exercises from paragraph 176. Is that correct? And then the all of 24. So let's review.
All of 24?
Is that right?
You don't recall what?
I don't recall going all the way into 24, but I guess I...
Yeah, including exercises, you mean?
Well, the... I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm sorry.
No, you are? Okay. That's good. I'm glad you're all set there.
Okay.
All right, let's review our vocabulary then. The I died, second heirs to Apokonesco. Here's what? Apethanon. Okay, Apethanon. All right. I threw or cast. Second heirs to Balo.
Ebalon.
All right, Ebalon. I became. Second heirs to Ginnomai.
Eganomen.
Okay, Eganomen. And I saw. Second heirs, no present stem, but Harao is the present. All right, Adon. All right, I saw. And then I said.
Apon.
All right, I don't know why they... or Apa, either one, parenthesis the one. I took, second heirs of Lambano.
Elabon,
all right. I left, second heirs of Lapo, to leave.
Elabon,
all right. I found, second heirs of Heurisco.
Heron?
It's a rough reading, yeah. Heron, a rough reading. It's a little bit hard to see that. All right, I got, second heirs of Echo, to have.
Escon,
all right. I ate, second heirs of, I guess Estheo is the one who's in the present. I ate.
Ephagon,
all right. I went, or I came. Aelthon, of Erkamai. And then I received, of Parlamatum. I received. Parelabon. All right, so these are the second heirs forms. And because they all, other of them end in on, I don't know why he parenthesizes the apon and makes the apa. I prefer to keep the apon because it's quite often used. How many times it has the apa? But the apon seems more second aoristic, you know, because they're all ending in on. And the ah is a little bit different, but either form is fine. All right, then let's go over the second aorist indicative active in middle of lapo, which would mean what? Lapo is to leave, so the second aorist indicative would be
I left.
Just simply I left. All right, let's go through that then. Elipon, elipes, elipet. Elipomen, elipete, elipon. All right, we've got those all set. Now, let's go in. Pardon me? Oh, yeah, we forgot lipane. Yes, we must not forget the second aorist active indicative, lipane. Notice there's no augment on the indicative, the infinitive. Why? All right, because the augment in the past tenses is an element of time, see, and there's no time in the infinitive as such. Yeah, That's some of the explanation, anyway, of it.
If that's the case, why would there be an infinitive in the aorist when there's already one in the present?
Because we want to get the type of actions. For instance, here, to leave, just a quick leaving. See, you drop off something and go, but see, if you're leaving, spends a long time, see, that's your present, see.
So the other would be to be leaving?
Yes. And this would be to leave once and for all, see, quick. For instance, if you remember your courting days, when you were courting your wife, you know, sometimes you'd have the present tense many times in the leaving of the home before you'd leave and go home. I suppose now you could just get into an aoristic mood and say goodbye and come in and go, you know, quickly. But if your courting days were anything like mine, in fact, I remember one time my mother-in-law had to pound her shoe in the ceiling, and when this kid's going to go home, you know what I mean? In other words, this is the type of thing.
Then you said, you called up and said, I am leaving.
That's right, very quickly. So anyway, that didn't happen very often. But I mean, she went to Moody Bible Institute, and I went to University of Michigan, and I was there for 3 years. I took the 4 years and three, my summer and winter, and she took 2.5 years at Moody. So we didn't see each other very much, just by letter writing. So when we came home for breaks, it was very, very difficult to get in all we wanted to get in at the small number of hours we had to get in it. So anyway, be as it may, I think that's the reason. So it's that type of action, say the action side, the brand of action. As we explained, and you were not here at the time. Well, yes, you were too, Steve. Yes, on the kind of action, paragraph 179. See the fundamental idea, and that's why the punctiliar versus the linear type thing, and that's where you have it in the infinitive. No time particularly, but it is in that. Also, there's what we call a sequence of tenses in Greek, and you have certain past tenses, they would take the aorist indicative, the infinitive, and you have the present type of tenses, they would take the present in a sequence of tenses. Now, even though the tenses are not translated into the past necessarily, but certain setups in Greek require that you use a certain tense to complete that meaning. See, for instance, when you get these contrary to fact conditions, the conditional sentences, it's if it's this in the present, then the if clause and the therefore clause must be in the imperfect or something, and if it's in the aorist, then it's got to be in the aorist or the perfect. I mean, there's certain tenses like that, so that's another reason why they split these in here. Any other comments or questions on that? I was going to check the chart here. You notice on our verb chart, the active voice, see here, you have the infinitive luane, which is without an augment, the future lusane without an augment, and of course the aorist lusai without an augment. See, there's no augments, but there's no augment anyhow in the future or in the present, but there is in the imperfect, but there's no infinitive in the imperfect. See, apparently they don't need that particular action because you got that in the present, the continuous linear action, see, because imperfect is a linear time. So they didn't need, I guess, they didn't need that. But the elusa, first aorist, that's got an augment, and the second aorist augment, and lel is an augment, it's a reduplication of the perfect, and then lel in the second perfect and the pluperfect. So, but in the infinitive, see, there's no augments at all on any of them. So that's how we move along on that. All right, let's take a look at the second aorist active infinitive, or excuse me, the second aorist indicative middle, the middle voice. How would that be translated for lepo, to leave? Yeah, I left for me. What would that be translated?
For myself.
That's right. I left for myself or for my own benefit, something like that. See, I left because I wanted to leave.
Right.
See, because it was a volitional, type of volitional thing. All right, let's go through that. Elipomein, elipu, elipita, elipomatha, elipista, eliponta. An infinitive? Lipestai, all right, lipestai. Now, Steve, you had a little trouble with those yoda subscripts in your verb.
Yes, yes.
All right, just remember, in the second and third person singular, there's where you got the yodas, see, usually. Now, here you don't in the aorist, but generally you have that. In the ace, you see ace and a, so you got the yoda in there. See, and whenever you got it like an o, ace, a, omen, eta, osi, like in the verb to be, You always have that same iota, but it's in a subscript. But you got that iota, see. Imperfect, no. But future, so you got the A, see the iota in there? Epsilon, iota, sigma. But you got those iota. So you got to remember, those two parts especially, they generally take the iota subscript if you got any subscripting to do. Now, not in the second aorist, the S, cos, ke, so on, in the perfects. But here's the first pluperfect, it ends in case, and then K, see? There again, the iotas. So those second and third singulars, remember on that. But in this, of course, there's no problem. Let's see, and then I guess, Manny, you just got a little inversion of the sigma. OC, you said S instead of C. Just a little, just that one, those two forms, all I could find. Maybe others, but that's all I could find in there. It's very good. Anyway, any questions on this is all we had, I guess, wasn't it? Yeah, just those vocabulary plus these two. All right, if not, get out your papers, please, and what's your name? The date is the 17th tonight, isn't it? January 17th. And Larry wondered how he did on his so on and so forth. Just wondering, why don't I give that to you to take back to him? Would you mind doing that when you see him, along with the tape? I'll give that cassette tonight. Okay. All right, you ready to go? All right, vocabulary first then. Number one, and I'm just going to give the past tense, I received. What I want is aorist, obviously. I received in the aorist, all these are aorists. Number two, I died. Number three, I went or I came. Number four, I threw or I cast. Number five, I ate. Number six, I became. Number seven, I got. Number eight, I saw. Number nine, I found. Number ten, I said. Number 11, I left. Number 12, I took. All right, I think there are only 12. Any questions on any of those that need to repeat?
You want both forms for the I said?
If you want to, or just pick your favorite, either one, for I said, yeah. All right, also give us the second aorist indicative active and the second aorist middle active. Middle active. Second aorist indicative active, indicative middle, and give the meaning of those forms to at least one part of it. Any questions on any of those? All right, go right ahead and we'll let me know when you're finished. All right, you got good marks on this one.
I'm not sure if that's Larry or Phil, but...
Oh, really? Now, Phil has his own names on these, but does that look like Phil's writing? That's Phil right there.
Sure.
That looked like his writing at all?
Is that Larry or Phil?
Well, let's see. I've got a specimen of Larry's handwriting. Here's Larry. Would that be Larry's? It's Greek and English both.
You're the expert in that field.
Is Larry? Okay.
We'll
go with Larry.
Is this Larry's too?
Yeah, that's right.
So let's put that. Hasn't seen
yet? I've got a grade, you'll see.
Oh, okay.
First. That's Larry. I'm going to put L weight on that.
You were asking me about Monroe Parker. He is real good. He's good.
Yeah, he's got meetings, doesn't he?
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you heard him?
No, I haven't. I've heard of him and so on. And
he's very good.
I may have heard him years and years ago preaching.
He's an old timer.
Yep, that's good.
We figured out he's 76. I thought he had said he was older than that. But he said he was saved when he was 19 in 1928. So
you started.
Immediately, huh? That's good. All right, let's take a look at our work for next week before we go into our exercises. Next week is going to be 25, all of 25, and then half of 26. So 25 is the second aorist subjunctive active in middle. And let's take this vocabulary first of all. Very simple. True is what? An adjective, true. Alethenos, Alethene, Alethenon, all right, Alethenos, Alethenon. True, now we've had Aletheia, have we not? Hey, Aletheia, the truth, see, which is the abstract noun. Here is true, which is your adjective, the true men, see, the honest men, Alethenos. Alright, the life is what?
Habios.
Habios. Here's your masculine, second declension. Biology, very simple there. Biography, and so on. And then the devil is what?
Diabolos.
Ha, diabolos. Sorry, ha, diabolos. Here again, second declension, masculine noun. And diabolical is right in there, no problem with that one. And then, of course, bolos from, I think, balo, and dia, to throw through things and just wreck them, see. I think that's your real root of this thing. It's the balo, or the ball root, and the dia. All right, then.
How about he was thrown out of?
Well, thrown out of heaven, too. That's good, yeah. And also, it means the adversary. And in the Hebrew, Satanas, I believe, is a Hebrew meaning adversary also. Satanas, Satan. I'm thinking of Zechariah 3. Zechariah the high priest and Satan stood to oppose him. See, Satanas, the opposer, stood to oppose him. That's in Zechariah, I believe, chapter 3. I remember we had that in Hebrew when we studied it years ago. And Zechariah. But this diabolos is one who opposes and one who thwarts. And then there, in that place, the adverb is what?
A
K. All right, a K. This is, I don't think any memory is offhand on that one. But a K, epsilon iota on the end.
Well, a kenos.
Yeah, a kenos is there. I guess you're right. That one. Yeah, a K, a kenos. Yeah, that's a good memory. Yeah. You already know one, so you got the other there. That one.
I guess we know all these words already.
Yeah, no problem. You don't have to learn anything like that. Now, the next vocabulary is a little longer. Let's go ahead with that one since we're on vocabulary. Then we'll move into the other work a little bit later. All right, let's go on to this one. The blood. Don't forget your articles now. Put your articles in here and learn the articles. It's a rough reading. Haima.
Haima.
Tohaima. Yeah, Tohaima. Now, this is what the TEV removes of the 32 times that speak of blood. I think 16 are removed. I've written an analysis of that in today's English version, Good News for Modern Man. 16, especially when it speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ, are removed. And this haima is changed to death or sacrifice or something else.
It's always the same,
but not blood.
They remove?
They remove haima. They remove blood. See, there on this.
Anything besides blood?
No, haima is haima. Hematology, hematopes, hematology, hematoscopes. You know, this is blood. That's the Greek word for blood. See, but they are working on the dynamic equivalency. They were the first one, 1953. Now, Van Bruggen, in his Future of the Bible, mentions this, the TEV, Today's English Version, by Bratcher, Southern Baptist man. He was the one that was the editor of that. He doesn't even believe in the deity of Christ, and he's an apostate in his theology. And he doesn't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and so on. But Van Bruggen mentioned this was the first prototype of the dynamic equivalency, which then was used by the New International Version and Great Thing. Of course, the Living Bible and all these. That's more wild than the other. But see, here's what they say. Haima is blood, but blood in some instances means it's a symbol or a sign for somebody's death, you see. And so they can just switch it and say, all right, instead of blood, the literal, we move into what is the meaning of it, see. The literal thing means blood, but what does it mean? Well, it means somebody's death. So you see the shedding of blood, for instance, in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, the New International, the Today's English Version, calls that not saved. You know, as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. For as much as you know, that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, you see, but with the precious blood of Christ. Haima is right there in the Greek. And they say, but with the costly sacrifice of Christ. Now they use sacrifice. Well, see, that's different from the blood of Christ. He could sacrifice himself by just jumping in front of a freight train. That would be a sacrifice of itself. In other words, but the blood is right there, and they take it up 16 different times that I recall in my research. It's right down there. It's number 4. It's the American Bible Society and the Blood of Christ, that title. It was one of my first analyses way back in 1970-71 when I first began our Bible for Today ministry. Even before that, I guess, when I was with the American Council of Christian Churches Radio Audio Film Commission. But Haima is very important to have it in it. But this NIV, today's English version, dynamic equivalency, intrinsic, extrinsic, sort of playing with things and with words. That's where you get this chain. All right. Sometimes it's just death, you know. Well, it isn't just any old death. It's the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. See, it's not a question of somebody could die a natural death, and that wouldn't help. but that's why the Lord had to go to Calvary. So the blood, hyma, hematology, we know that. The letter, like a letter of an alphabet, or the writing as well. Tograma. And that means also learning. See, you know, letters, and somebody that knows letters is learned and so on. And in the book of Acts, Felix or Festus or Agrippa, one of the three, said of Paul, "Much learning doth make me mad." See, and this is grammar. Much, and you think of much grammar. And we often joked about this, University of Michigan, when we were taking second year Greek, Bible Greek, Koine Greek, after we took the first year of the classical. And how maddening it was with all this grammar, all the study of all this stuff. But grammar is the letter, and gramophone. But a gramophone is a phone that speaks letters, I guess, doesn't it? It's something that speaks words, and grammar, and I think gramma is related to graphe. See, I think graph and gram, I think there's relationship there. And probably in our analytical Greek lexicon, if you looked under grapho, you'd probably find gram right there. See, it's because you letters are things that you write, and so it's just like in Hebrew, sefer is book. Sefer is book, and sefer is also a cipher. It's a number, and so let's see. I'm trying to get a number. Yeah, mispar is a number. See, because mispar is sefer with a P, you know, it can go either P or mispar is a number. See, that's what that is. So let me just check on this gram. Grapho, all right, here, grapho. Grama, gramata, stagrama, that's exactly what it is. That which is written or drawn, see, grama. See, it's a letter, that which is written or drawn. A letter, a character of the alphabet, see, a writing, a book, it could be even a book, grammar, an acknowledgement of debt, an account, a bill, an epistle, a letter, grammar, sacred books. The whole Old Testament is called the Holy Scriptures, the sacred writings, grammata, hiera, grammata, the sacred grammar, say grammata, the writing. So, or the Law of Moses, the bare literal sense, it could be the letter of the Law of Moses, meaning the bare literal sense, so letters. And it could be learning. Of course, there's where Acts 26:24. Which Acts 26? Would that be Agrippa? I think it would be Agrippa, 26. Festus and Felix are earlier, 23:24, but 26 is Agrippa. Paul. Okay, so that's gramma, to gramma, the letter. Any question on that one? All right, the will is what? We've had this verb. All right, to thelema. All right, now we've had the verb, which is what? Thelo, which is to will or wish or to desire. All right, and this is Thelma, his girl's name, is the one who is willing. I hope she's willing to do the Lord's will and not willing to make herself a fool, see? Some of them are. And then the name is what? Ta-onama. All right, onama. What's your memory hint on that one? You ever heard of the figure of speech, onomatopoeia? Onomatopoeia. Onoma is the noun. Pia, poieo, poie, P-O-E-I-A, poie, pia. Therefore, the noun makes the actual sound and does what it's talking about, the hiss of the serpent. It's onomatopoetic. So, onoma. And then, anonymous. Anonyma. I think that is it. Is it not? Let me see. Am I right here? Anima. Wait a minute. And I'm just trying to get my spelling. Anonyma. Without a name, see. I think that's it. You know, you got to get your spelling in here. Anonymous. Anonymity. Anonymity. Without any name, see. Anonymity. See, anonymous. So you put these, if you want memory hints, if you need them, maybe you don't even need them. Anima. Right? The spirit is what? Notice that is neuter, and trothelema is neuter, and trohaima is neuter, trokarama. These are all neuter nouns, so be careful of that. The spirit is what? All right, now, people say, well, I say pneuma, so oh, yeah. I prefer the pneuma. Now, I may be wrong in that, the euphony, but I think the pneuma is probably a C. We say pneumatology, pneumonia and so on, but and pneumatic tires and so on. But I think pneuma, I don't know of any Greek combination there that puts that into the end of the noon. See, I think it's a pneuma. I don't think that's a silent letter, that P. I think that's a, you know, a really pronounced pneuma. Now, if we can find it something different, we'll have to look into it. But so I've always pneuma. I know a lot of people say pneuma and so on, but I don't think so. We have the pneumatology in English. Yeah, we get the English way of doing it. So you anglicize it, but I think we should say top pneuma. And there again, pneuma, see? It's euma. There again, feud. There we argue with the author here, with the eud. You remember epsilon. He says like E and feud. But I think pneuma. Pneuma. All right, top pneuma. And that's, of course, you know, pneumatology and a lot of pneumatic tires and various things, wind for memory hints. All right, the word is what? All right, tahrema. Now, any roll that begins the word always has a rough reading. See, because it's chrema. Because they trill it, see, chrema. That's why the trilled tongue, chrema, tahrema. Any memory hand on that one? I can't think of anything except, rheumatoid arthritis, but that's rheuma, that's not rheuma. Rheuma, no. I know that this is the one that's used in Ephesians 6, 11, 12, 13, along that context, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is a rheuma, tarema, the Word of God. Rheuma comes from reo.
How would that differ from the other word?
Logos. Well, logos and logeo, well, you may have it. Logos and logeo is the logic, the reason, see. Rheuma comes from the verb reo, which means to flow. Diarrhea is diarreo, to flow through one. You say diarreo. This reo, the rhema. So this is the spoken word as it comes off the tongue, see. The spoken word of God. That's what they... So let's take a look at this. Logeo, the logos, is the intelligent, logical reasoning, you know, mental type of aspect. And then there's another Greek word for speech, which is laleo, which is merely the mechanics of speech. La 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 la. See, it's all onomatopoetic word, isn't it? Laleo. But let me see if I can find here. Logos, I guess, huh? We look under logos and see what we got there. Yes, we got logos three places. Start with 288. Go from there. Maybe 288 will have all of them. 288. Well, it says laleo. Laleo, lego. Yeah, laleo and lego. All right. Laleo, speech versus silence. See, I've got my little summary notes in here as I went through it. Lego is orderly thoughts. See, lego, the logic, the reason, the cerebral cortex, the cortical aspect of our thinking in life. Speech, laleo versus silence. Secondly, speech, oratio, oris, may be regarded as the orderly linking and knitting together and connected discourse of the inward thoughts and feelings of the mind. See, that would be the lalain. The lalain is just to talk at random. See, and lalain, laleo is the speech, logon is word. Speech, the outward form and utterance. The word assumes. Maybe what I should do is look under rhema and see if they have anything under rhema too, to see what that is. On the trench of synonyms. That was on page 288. Let's see here. I don't see anything under rhema. Maybe I'll go with logos and maybe it would another page. 334 is another page for Lego. 334. Yeah, it's logos and phoné. Phoné is just simply a sound, even of animals. See, phoné, sound. But logos, rational utterance of, what do I have here? Of the noose, you see, of the mind. See, that's it. So that's the difference there. Let me see. I got one more. 337 there. Logos and mythos, which is a myth. Logos is a true discourse. Actually, a true story and connected discourse. Mythos, like we get the word myth, is a fabulous number of lies, you see. So that would be it. No, I don't see any rhema in here. I don't see, but that it comes from Reto, and that is the... if you look in Lenski's commentary in Ephesians, you'd find that he would go into that. I'm sure that's where I picked that up, the rhema, the flowing word of God, the spoken word of God. All right, any other questions on rhema? The seed is what? Don't forget your article. Tasperma. Tasperma. All right, roll your R. Tasperma. And of course, sperm and the sperm whale and various other words there is very easy memory. And the month is what? Excuse me, the mouth. Read it wrong.
Tastama.
All right, tastama. The mouth. Stomach, you see, is one. Stomach. See, it's the mouth. It's the mouth of the opening there. And stoma. Stomach, let's see. I'm trying to think of a ectostoma. There's something here. All right, that's we'd have to go to stomach, I guess. It's the opening of the food. It's the end of the food tube. Mouth. The body is what?
Tasoma.
All right. What's your memory hit there? Somatic. Psychosomatic medicine. The psyche is the soul and soma is the body. Psychosomatic. And what else? Soma. Somatic. Well, that's body. It's different now from flesh, which is sarx. Sarx is flesh. That's this evil principle in man, see. The soma, that's not the evil principle necessarily, the body, but the flesh is. All right, the gift or the free gift is what?
Tacharisma.
Charis is grace or thanks or gift, and ma is the result of something else. So it's a gift, a free gift. That ma suffix is the suffix of result. The sis, S-I-S, is the suffix of process, something that is going on. See, the charis is the grace in the active sense, and charisma is the result of charis. You have grace, and therefore you receive a gift after you. Because you have grace, you have something as a result of the ma, and you'll find that in the suffixes. All right, any charismatic, certainly you got that memory in. Then holy is what? An adjective holy. Final word. Okay. Hagios, Hagia, Hagion. All right. Memory hint? What? Well, I... Well, think of a hag. See, think of a hag. I always use that. Hagiadzo is a word to sanctify, to set apart. And someone who is completely set apart in the sense of, if they'd be holy in that sense, would be someone that looked so awful and so different from all the rest of us. She would be a hag. Now, that's the original meaning of hagios. And then hag comes from that. It really does in English. If you look that up, the etymology is from hagios, holy ones. And they, maybe they did look a little disheveled. Well, if you were persecuted and beaten and, you know, crucified and so on, from pillar to post, to run around and chased with the lions, you'd look a little disheveled too, see. And so these saints came to know that. Anyhow, I don't think that'd be a memory hint for you, but it might. If it does, hug you. Hag, yes. But you see, someone set apart as absolutely distinct and separate, that's Hagiadzo, the Holy One. All right, that takes care of those vocabulary words. Any other thoughts on that? All right, if not, let's go then to the lesson itself on 24. See some of the background here.
Are we going to pick up these subjunctive errors?
Yes, we will. This is, where are we, 25? Yeah, 25 on page 81, paragraph 190. Yeah, let me give you the assignment, then we'll move back to the assignment. Would be 189. We start with 225, don't we? Yeah. 189, a vocabulary, a very brief one. 190, and then 195, which would be your exercises. And then, of course, 196, which is your vocabulary. And 199. And we don't go to the exercise this time on this lesson here. So that would be it. You got any questions on those? 199 coming backwards, 199, 196, 195, 190, and 189.
I'm not trying to make more work, but 198, it says these forms must be thoroughly mastered. Is that
198?
You already know those.
198 now? Where are you speaking?
Yeah.
Yes, up there. Now, the thing about it is, those are endings, you see, and they're introducing us now to the third declension, see. And what they're saying is these forms must be mastered, but they must be mastered, I've always felt, in context with the noun that you're declining, see. Because if you don't, that sigma on the end, or none, on the nominative, here you got onoma, up in the actual number, paragraph 199, there's no sigma there, see. Mm-hmm. So you can memorize this to your heart's content, but many times where the rubber meets the road is the actual declension, see. So I just call in 198 as more or less background, see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to...
Well, I see all those declensions.
Yeah, all those declensions, that's right. They just come to that, and you can see this. Again, it's nice for little thought problems, and you can see how it's built up and so on, but the main thing is, do you know the forms and can you identify them in the New Testament as to whether it's genitive or ablative or dative and so on? Any other questions on that? All right, let's go then to 190, the second aorist subjunctive active and middle of lapo. Now, remember, second aorist, we went into the active, indicative active, and what was that again of lapo? We took that tonight. Elipon, wasn't it? Elipon, elipes, elipe, elipomen, elipete, elipon, elipon. Now we move without the augment, because the subjunctive has no augment, has no need of augment. The subjunctive, see all these subjunctives right here, see. Do you have these? Did I give you one of these things a long time ago? Okay.
It's just the book's too small.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mean for you to take them if you don't have them. This is perfectly fine. But I just wanted to be sure you had them if you wanted to for study. But you see, all these subjunctives, there's not a single augment on them. See, even on the past tenses, aorist, second aorist, first perfect. See, no augments in the active, no augments on subjunctive in the middle, and no augments on the passive. See, absolutely augmentless. And, of course, the reason for that is, again, you don't stress tense in the subjunctive. It's just action, form of action, linear, which is durative, or punctiliar point action like the aorist. And you remember, the only one that they've said before, the only way, the only mood that has anything to do with tense or time is the indicative. See, there's where you got the augments. And move along with that. The rest of them, augmentless. Subjunctive, imperative, infinitive, participles. You won't find augment number one. See? Because that doesn't do with time, as tense. Time and tense. So that's why there's no augment. So let's go right down the line. I remember, we said before, when we learned the subjunctive, once you know those endings in the subjunctive, you know every ending, every subjunctive. They're regular as clockwork. I don't know of any exceptions. Of course, you always see an exception somewhere as soon as you say it. But I don't know of a single exception of subjunctive. It's always, ace, a, omen, eta, osi. Right down the line. Now look at here. Let's go. Lipo, lipes, lipe. Lipomen, lipete, liposi. And Manny, don't invert the sigma and the iota.
Right.
Not the S, but OC. See? That's it.
I've got to get my iota subscripts in there.
Oh, yeah. Be sure to put those iota subscripts. Try it again. Lipo, lipase, lipe. Lipomen, lipete, liposi. You see? And the same thing is true of all these subjunctives. See, here's the aorist. First aorist. Luso, luces, luce. Lusomen, lucete, lusosi. See, the endings are the same. Here's the second aorist. Lipo, lipase, lipe, which is the one we have here. Here's the perfect. Leluco, lelukes, leluke, lelukomen, lelukes, lete, lelukosi. See, in other words, the endings are the same, regardless of the root, regardless of any of that. Even the second perfect, leloipo, leloipes, leloipe, leloipomen, leloipete, leloposi. They're all the same. So once you got one, you got the other. Active. And what would this mean, and where would you use this second aorist subjunctive? Always we use subjunctive in what situations? Conditions, right? Doubtful, contrary to fact, maybe hesitating, a possibility here, not too sure, probability, possibility, whatever. All right, let's go to the middle now.
That would be translated what? I may have left.
He might have left. He might leave. You see, it depends on the context in the sentence. But it's if I left tomorrow, would I do this and that? See, if I left tomorrow, see, that's like in English. That would be giving the time factor. See, but without the time factor, just. Oh, that you might leave me once and for all. Get out of my hair, see. Not that that would be what we would want with anybody, but sometimes we feel like that. And that would be the aorist subjunctive. But if, oh, that you might continue to come to my house and to visit me, see, or to write me letters or whatever, that would be the present subjunctive. But it's, oh, it's a wish, it's a hope, it's a possibility, it's an if clause. All these ways you use the subjunctive. And, of course, the article or the negative particle for that would be what? For the subjunctive. What would be the no?
May.
May. Right. And with the negative would be? The ooh, and ooh. That's right. All right, you got the question on that? All right, then move on to the active, to the middle. The second aorist subjunctive, the middle. What would the middle voice imply? From lapo, which means to leave.
The pomo. Oh, that I might leave for myself?
Yeah, leave for my own benefit. Right. On my own, see. I wish you wouldn't kick me out of the house. I would that I would leave by myself or on my own, see. That sort of thing. Volitional, something on to do with my own self, meaning the indirect middle. All right, let's go through the middle second aorist subject. Lipomai, lipe, lipetai. Lipometha, lipeste, lipontai. Now here, you have a different form on the endings, obviously, than you do in the active. Because the active has one form of endings and the middle has another form. But the endings, omai, e, etai, ometha, este, ontai, are identical and the same in all the middles. See? That's what I'm saying. See? Omai, e, etai, ometha, este, ontai. Here's the first aorist. Omai a etai. Ometha esta ontai. Here's the second aorist. Here's the first perfect. Well, the first perfect has the participle, then it has o ace a. Omen eta osi. So it has the regular, it's a periphrastic subjunctive in the first perfect, so that wouldn't apply. But basically, they stay the same. Same is true of this is the passive voice. A passive voice. Lipo, lipase, lipe, always say, lomai. See, this passive is always in the primary endings. And the other, the middle, is the secondary endings for the what you have here. Omai, a, etai, ometha, esta, ontai. Any questions on that one then? Remember, there are no infinitives because subjunctive doesn't have an infinitive. They have no need for that thing. It's indefinite as it is. They don't need an indefinite infinitive. 191, observations, no augment there. Sorry, that's the observation. This is all background. Read it if you care to and look at the background. Notice 192. Let me remember that the aorist subjunctive does not denote past time. But the real time of the subjunctive is future in relation to the speaker or writer. And this time element is not due to the tense at all. Why would the real time of the subjunctive be future in relation to the speaker?
If he fulfills that condition, then the results will be in the future.
All right.
In other words, you have to meet the condition.
All right. For instance, suppose we say, oh, I wish you would let me leave by myself, mm-hmm. if this middle were the case, for lapo, right? Well, you haven't left yet, so it's still future. Mm-hmm. The present, for instance, lipo, I wish that you would leave. Let's see, what? If I were to leave, then you'd be happy. Yeah. See, well, I haven't left yet again. See, it's all future. That's sort of hard to come by and to understand, but that's a good statement. I don't know that it helps us any, but the main thing is the aorist subjunctive does not denote past time. No subjunctive is time. Remember, the time factor is only the indicative. We remember that. That's why we got the augments in, because that augment indicates past time. No augment. Yeah, usually present or future time. So.
Well, what do we get out of other subjunctive and its relationship to time?
Which one now?
Present?
Oh, way back in the early days? You mean the early phases?
I was trying to get a relationship.
All right.
Yes.
Where are you located? What page?
75.
75?
75, paragraph 169.
Okay, 75. Yes, the type of action, that's the only thing that we have there, isn't it? No time absolute element in the subjunctive mode or mood in any tense. Present subjunctive is linear, durative, without reference time. So, yeah, I think that's what we have here. So this is punctiliar, really. They don't say that here, but I think that's what you'll find. Well, yes, it is 193 that goes into it. The distinction is between, meaning between the present subjunctive and the aorist present, only the kind of action, the present subjunctive versus the durative action, the aorist punctiliar action. Example, here's some examples. For instance, let us not be dying in sin, let us not continue to die, keep on dying in sin. It's me apothneiskomen en te hamartia. Now here's a prohibition with what tense? Apothneiskomen. It's subjunctive mood. What tense? Apothneisko. Remember, apethanon is aorist. Apothneisko is your present. Remember, was it last week or a week before we talked about the prohibitions, negative prohibitions in present time, present tense, versus the negative prohibition in the aorist tense? What would the distinction be, if you recall? Where you have a negative with the present tense, don't so and so, and the negative with the aorist, what would be the difference? Remember? The root is reduced? Well, that's the formation of it. As far as the aorist, you reduce the root. For instance, lape goes to lip, if that's what you mean, the aorist. What I meant was, what is the meaning of it, see? For instance, if you say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, what's the distinction if John had said, don't love the world in the present tense versus don't love the world in the aorist tense? Remember, we got into that?
Don't even begin loving the world.
Right, don't even begin is what? What tense?
It's the.
That's one distinction. That's right. And what is the tense that has that unlocking feature?
Wasn't the aorist?
That is the aorist. Aorist, don't even begin to loving the world. And what is the other one? If it's a present prohibition.
Don't continue loving the world.
Don't continue. Stop loving. Stop. You already are loving the world.
Loving
I quit it. That's right.
Stop.
So you can tell exactly what they're doing.
What's
that? See.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's the present tense. Stop loving the world. Same way with 2 Corinthians 6:14. Where it says, what? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Stop being unequally. It's the present prohibition of protest. So what I'm saying is, this is what you have here. It's may apothenesikomen. Stop. See, let us not be dying in sin. Let us not continue to die in sin or keep on dying. See, you already are dying in sin. And the next one, may apothanomen. And here's your second aorist from epethanon. En te hamartia. Let us not die in sin. Let us not even begin to die in sin. Don't even start an action. Don't even begin an action. And as we said before, the Dana and Matty Intermediate Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament gives those distinctions very clearly in the different prohibitional conditional clauses.
What were some of those verses again?
Oh, 2 Corinthians 6:14, which is, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See? Short and
so
important. Stop
that
doing.
That's
the present tense. That's present. Yeah. That's
present.
Yeah. So it's stop it. And the other one is love not the world, neither things that are in the world. So in other words, that's 2 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. This is important. See, and when you look at these things, you really get some understanding as to what the conditions of things are. See.
Did you hear any of Monroe Parker? He used a couple of Greek things.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, 6:14, let me just check it to be sure, on the 6:14, may gineste, see, from ginemai, it's the present tense. Be not then heterozeugontes, yoked zeugo to heteros, in a different way of a different, completely other sort. See, here's heteros versus allos, of a complete strange sort. And the same with 1 John 2:15. Boy, our building's awful cold, I tell you. Our my classroom up there, it just starts at 60, and so it's not good for the voice. It really is not good for the voice. What are you going to do on a cold day? Not too many kids out today. Me agapate. Love not. Do not love agapao. In 1 John 2:15.
That's an aorist subjunctive.
Which one? That's present also. That's present. See, agapao. Agapao is the way. Both are present, see. Stop loving the world.
They were loving the world.
They were loving the world.
Okay,
that's right. See, if you can think of any of these prohibitions in the English Bible that you can think of, and to check them up in the Greek and see if it's present or aorist, and then you can get some meaning.
Both
are present, yeah. Yeah, it means both stop doing it, yeah. Stop doing an action that... Now, they just started. They gave us the examples with the negative prohibitions, and that's why I brought this thing out, the difference between present and the other. Now, the Dana and Manny reference on that, as we said last time or time before, whenever it was we brought into it, there's a whole section on page 299 on commands and prohibitions. See, commands and prohibitions. 299 is the page, yeah. In the aorist tense, prohibition with the aorist subjunctive, and in the present tense. And then the aorist subjunctive and present imperative prohibitions contrasted on page 301 and 302. So the aorist is warning or exhortation against doing a thing not yet begun. That's aorist. Present, prohibition expressed with present tense, demands the cessation of some act that is already in progress. See, there's your distinction there. And of course, A.T. Robertson, his large grammar, has similar teachings on that. All right, so that's the paragraph 193 in the example. And the first example, of course, represents action in progress. Second example just treats the action as a single whole, without any reference to progress or completion. It's generally difficult to bring out the difference in the English translation. We see, I'm sorry that Davis didn't go into the Dane and Matty distinct rule like we've just made. The second one does make a distinct difference. Me apophanum, and it is, don't even begin to die in sin. See, don't even start it. Don't even have any thoughts concerning it. See, that's really the meaning. But anyway, we were not going to quibble with Davis, but Dana and Manny would say, yes, there is a simple way in English to translate it, and there's quite a bit of difference. Any questions on 193 before we go to 194? Well, I noticed the subjunctive used in question of doubt, where the speaker asks what he is to do or to say. For instance, how are we to find him? Post heuromen auton. You see, this is the deliberative subjunctive. How are we to do? How can we best? It's like Ezekiel's question that was put into a book title of Dr. Francis Schaeffer. How are we then to live? How are we then to live? See, that's in Ezekiel. And isn't that what it is? How are we then to live? How are we to live? Something like that. So this is the use of the subjunctive. For instance, what am I to say? T-apo. See, what might I say? What should I say? What ought I to say? What shall I say? And then, shall we remain in sin? Epimenomen. See, that's omen, and the ending is a subjunctive ending, see, of meno. Epimenomen, te hamartia. Shall we? Are we to remain in sin? Should we? Is it possible? See, it's a subjunctive, deliberative question, the use of the subjunctive in that way. Any other questions on that one? All right, how shall we receive? We've got some exercises based on that too, so don't forget to use that rule on number one in From English to Greek. You'll find that. And what shall we eat? Number three, and so on. So they figure they have to teach you that so that they can ask you some questions on it. Any other questions on lesson 25 before going to 26? All right, 26 then next time is going to take up this third declension. We've put it off as long as we can. We've gone through 25 lessons and just first and second declension. But now, finally, the ultimate has to be. There are a class of nouns that are in the third declension. Notice top of 197, commonly called the consonant declension because most of the nouns have stems ending in a consonant. A few nouns included in this declension ended in the vowels iota or ypsilon, which were sometimes semi-vowels. A few of them included did end in this, their semi-vowels, but mostly it's a consonant declension. The case endings are, and then they give the endings. And as I said before, this is background, I believe, and the main thing is to memorize very clearly the endings of your declensions of the nouns rather than these, although if you wish, you go ahead and see that. what it is. But you'll notice in the accusative, it's supposed to end in nu, or a, alpha. Well, it ends in alpha, and this one here, for onoma. And mainly, it ends in alpha because it's a neuter. It's a neuter third declension, and the accusative in generally always ends in alpha, see, right? Or does it? No, it doesn't either, does it? It ends in plural. The plural ends in alpha. Well, all right, so that may be a valid distinction, but it's not the noon, anyway. The S in the plural, masculine and feminine, and the neuter is a. Well, there's the neuter. I guess that would be an a. I guess you'd have on, c, and then a. Well, all right, that's valid in the neuter plural, isn't it? In the neuter singular, non, os, e, and then non for the other. So anyhow, if you wish to do that, that's fine. Memorize those endings, or just go ahead with the others. These forms be thoroughly mastered. Note and then some background information. Locative, instrumental, dative. Use the locative endings e. See the locative yoda there. You find is one of the characteristics. Ois, remember ois and ice and things like that. And O with the omega yoda subscript. So that's why this ending is yoda is right there. Neuter plural and vocative plural always the same in the nominative. Vocative plural, neuter plural, nominative accused and vocative are always the same. That's in the neuter plural. So we've got that rule. Well, let's take a look at onoma. Ta onoma. And I want you to conjugate or decline this rather with the use of the article before it. So if you want to put that ta onoma.
Would the article then pick up the third declension endings?
No. Article is neuter right on down, see?
It's the same.
Yeah, same right on down. Ta and tu.
Okay.
Genitive and two.
Okay.
So I'm writing down to, and then of course ta, and then the plural. The ta, ton, tois, and then ta. Just the regular neuter articles, but okay. So just to keep us in shape for that, I think it's good that we keep these articles as we go down for declension. Also, it keeps us in mind that this is a neuter noun and it's not some other type, because if you don't know the genders of your nouns, you're going to have trouble sometimes referring what participle this what noun is a participle referred to. See, but if you know the genders and you keep them straight, then it'll be easier to in exegesis. Any questions on 199? Let's go through it then. Ready? Ta anama to anamatas to anamatas. And to anamati, ta anama, ta anama. Neuter.
Neuter. Yeah, but ta is plural, I think. It should be
ta.
But it'd be for neuter.
Ta is the same in nominative and
accusative.
Remember?
No, I don't.
All right. Let's take a look at ta doron. Let's go back to ta doron, the gift.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back to that.
That's way, way back, isn't it? That was in this last test.
The article changed even though the ending for the root word, the word.
I thought it was...
All right, look on page 34.
Yeah. You're right.
See, that's one distinction of the neuter article. We got the ta, and then the plural, ta. See, the first of the nominative and the accusative are identical, see? Mm-hmm. See that? Now, if it's masculine, you're right, it'd be ton. That's right. But the ta.
Where are you looking?
Page 34 at the top. Ta ergon. Ta ergon. Now we're looking at the accusative singular. Ta ergon and the nominative singular. Ta ergon. See?
Okay, I thought you were saying ta.
Ta. Ta. Yeah, ta. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ta. And Manny was thinking it was ton. Yeah.
So
that's it. Okay, so let's write them in here. To. You got the to. Omega. Your taste. Right? So you got the sigma on the genitive and ablative singular. The E, you got that on the to, yoda subscript. So you know that yoda is partial in the locative instrumental dative. The onoma, sort of a neuter type looking. Plural onomata, well, that's neuter. Anaton, masi. We see you got the ois. You got the sigma in there. So that's generally a locative instrumental dative form. And of course, the onomata. There's no other way to do it but just to learn those endings, just like on the first and second declension. Any other questions on that? 199. Our 200 is background. 201 in declining a substantive, a consonant declension is necessary to know the stem, which is true. See, the stem is usually found by dropping the genitive singular ending, os, like for instance, onomatos. Onomat, that would be your stem. Thus, nominative stoma, genitive stomatos, stem is stomat. That's how you come to the stem. Genitive singular then must be known before nouns of the consonant declension can be declined. Genitive singular. That's why in the vocabulary you usually have onoma, onomatos. Because you, and that's all the way true in the masculine and feminine. In a good lexicon, you'll have halogos dash omicron epsilon u, meaning logu is the next. You always have that genitive form because that gives you the what it's going to go into, what it looks like, what the root would be, what the stem is. So with this. Onoma, onomatos. Now, they didn't do that for us in this particular vocabulary. I think later on they may do that. I certainly hope so. Yes, on page 93, the third declension. See the archon, archontos. See? Archon, here's a masculine. See it? Paragraph 222. Mm-hmm. Archontos. See, he elpis, elpidos. He elpidos. See? Elpis, elpidos. And nux, nuctos. And nous, podos. Apus, rather, podos.
So it gives you the...
gives you the genitive. And then drop the omicron sigma, and you get the root, mm-hmm. pod. But you see, who would know that pus would go to pod? You know, you don't wouldn't know that. You have to have that genitive. So then, from then on, podos, then podi, podi. You can get the other things, see, or posse, whatever the... sometimes you change the thing, but you get the general idea. Padon, you see, the root is there, and then you can build these endings on. All right, any questions on that further? All right, let's go back to our base, which was page what? Page 85, I guess. Wasn't it? Mm-hmm. The gender of the third declension substantives, except in the case of special classes like the substantives in mot, must be learned with each word separately. In other words, there's not a particular case. There's masculine, feminine, neuter. Notice the footnote on page 85. Neuter substantives with nominative in ma, stem is mat, are introduced first on account of their simplicity and importance. That's why they put the mat, amata. It's just an easier way to go. And, of course, they're important, too. A lot of them are used. Any questions on that? 202, then, a neuter plural subject often has its verb in the singular, sort of a collective. See, the names of the 12 apostles are these. Ton dodeca apostolon, of the 12 disciples, ta onoma ta esten, tauta. The names is these, the esten. They take it as a collective. The names is, are. So a neuter plural many times has the singular verb. That's just a rule of usage, and you'll find this in your Greek New Testament, so they're telling you that at this point. Any questions on that further? All right, you know what you got then for next week? Only one exercise, right? 195? No, is it 195? Let's see. Yeah, 195. Got a vocabulary, 189, and the second aorist, 190, both active and middle. And 195, you got your exercise. Vocabulary, 196. And the declension, third by 199. All right, any other questions on next week? All right, we'll be giving a tape to Larry so he'll be able to know what his assignment is. And Phil already has taken his assignment before he went to Florida, so he's presumably working on that as he rides Dumbo. You know what I mean? But that's the only thing my wife really went, oh, can I get on Dumbo? We never had time for it. And I thought that was the silliest ride in all the whole outfit there. Just a big elephant, you know, the whole bunch of things going around and around. But I remember we talked about Dumbo. Dan and I, we joked with her about that thing, silly thing.
No, I took my Hebrew to Florida and I didn't do anything.
You didn't do a thing? No, it's just
not. I was in Florida and I didn't do anything.
It's just not conducive to doing anything.
No, it's not.
It's probably a good thing. Your mind needs a little bit of rest. So it does take a lot of mind, all right. All right, if we're finished then with the look-see into the future, let's see what we have done on our exercises. We have two of them tonight, do we? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I forgot my head.
You forgot yours, did you?
Well, I did them in all the way back.
Oh, is that right? You forgot them and you left them home? Or you forgot
to
do them?
Yeah, but I don't know. So I had to try to do them over again at work.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. You forgot them as you went. Oh, that's too bad. Well, if you want to bring the others next time, if you can do better with
it. I can do it.
All right. The double.
That's what I usually do. I do it at the last minute.
Oh. Yeah.
The reason is because by that time I know the forms, I know the vocabulary, and I just like to do it in my head if I can.
Oh, that's good.
You end up getting it wrong that way.
Yeah, you have to double check on that way. So what paragraph are we on?
Yeah.
All right, exchange papers, put graded by at the bottom if you would, then your name. And what paragraph are we on to start with? Are we 170 or...
I think it's 176.
176. Okay, 176. All right, let's read the Greek, first of all. Well, some say stu, but we like the stel. Stel.
I haven't learned to do that yet.
Just el. El. No, el. Pistel woman. Pistel woman. Pistel woman. See?
Three vowels in a row.
Yes, but you see, that's right. But if you say pistel and el, pistel woman, just like pistel, you actually have a diphthong, pistel woman, pistel. But you see, that's why they always say pistel woman. But you see, I see pistel woman to me says omicron epsilon because that's ooh. See, but if you're saying it and you're making a distinction as you read it to the ear. You say pistel woman, you got the F. You got the epsilon right there. See, that's why I prefer. Just to keep that nice and tidy, because you can distinguish. Some things you can't distinguish in Greek when you read them. Epsilon iota from eta iota subscript, you can't distinguish that. A and A, they're both A. Right. But where you can distinguish, I'm for it. See, that's why I like to get that pistel woman. All right, go ahead, and the next one is what? Accent is curio, right? Curio. All right, what does that say?
Let us believe in the
Lord. Here's a hortatory subjunctive, isn't it? Let us believe in the Lord. It's an urging them to believe in the Lord, right? Let us continue to believe in the Lord. Pistel, remember the present.
That's just a context, of, in a sense, isn't it? I mean, this doesn't make sense, I guess, to say...
That we might believe in the Lord? See, that's right. See, when you have this absolute, that is syntactically set apart from any other clause in any sentence or paragraph, you've got to have hortatory, or the urging somebody to do something.
If there's no that, then it
becomes a sentence. That's right. That's right. There's no if or that or which or who. It's just isolated, what we call an absolute construction. There's a construction in Greek known as the genitive absolute, where you have the genitive participle in the genitive and a noun in the genitive, syntactically set apart from the sentence, has no meaning, no connection with anything. It's just there it is, and it's a whole clause. That's what we mean, the absolute. So absolute means set apart. So that's the same way. This is hortatory subjunctive. Any other question on that? It's present tense, so it's let us continue to believe in the Lord, right? Let's keep on doing it with the linear durative action. All right, let's go to two. Let's read the Greek. What's that say?
Agometha.
What's your accent?
Agometha.
Hippa. Tone. Apostolon. 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 Okay, good. What do I say on that one?
Let us be led.
Let us be led by the apostles. All right. Again, hortatory subjunctive. And this is in the middle, isn't it? In the middle.
May we
be led, huh? May we be led, let us be led, either one. Oh, that we might be led, although that might be the might and the wish would be in the optative mood, and there is an optative mood in Greek, but we don't use it too much in the Greek New Testament, so they don't really teach it too much. All right, any questions further on the number two? All right, number three, read the Greek first, what do we have? Kathos,
Kenos,
you have to pronounce two words on that one.
Dikaios.
Now get the next word too with it.
Oh, estin.
All right.
Dikaios
estin. All right, estin or steen, either one. Estin, I don't know how I go with estin, but steen, either one. All right, estin or steen. Estin. I guess because it's non-accented, I guess.
S10, see, S10. You know, it's sort of a, there's no accent on it, it's an enclitic, and therefore, but dikaiosis 10. I think so, sort of lighten it up. All right, and then what?
Omen.
Dikaioi. Hemes. All right, what do we have on that one?
Just as. That righteous man.
Well, you could say that righteous man is. Or you could say, just as that one righteous is, that it is righteous. See what I mean? Just as that one is righteous. You see?
Okay. You see, that's... It's nominative, so you can do that, I guess.
Yes?
I thought about doing that, and then I said...
It depends on whether it's the...
But it doesn't have to be.
No, it depends, you see, on whether you have the predicative position or the attributive position of that adjective, ekenos, right? That demonstrative pronoun. You like an adjective. So you can translate it the other way if you wish. All right, if whatever it is, just as that one or he righteous is righteous, then what?
Yeah.
Omen.
Omen is
from Amy. See, there's your.
We may.
It's the verb to be. See.
Yeah.
We may be.
We may be.
All right, or let us be
righteous.
Righteous. See, let us. Here's your hortatory subjective again. See. See, again, there's no if, there's no that, there's no which, there's no what. It's in a sentence, but it's sort of an absolute construction. So it's probably just as he is righteous. That one is righteous.
Let us be righteous.
Let us be righteous. See? Okay. And really, in the presence of hemes, since you don't need the hemes, you already got the omen, which is clear, it's we.
Yeah.
The very presence of it is emphatic. So you could translate it. Let us be righteous, you know, especially us. Let us, you know, especially us. Even us or us also or some sort of stress in it.
I couldn't figure out when to use a let us when it was set for a minute. It was kind of obvious. I questioned it.
Yes, but see, it's, yeah, you don't really need it, but yet for the presence of it, if they're in the Greek New Testament, means it's emphatic, see. And you could almost use the ascensive, A-S-C-E-N-S-I-V-E, the ascensive use of chi, where low chi isn't there, you mean even us. You can say almost even us, meaning you're stressing that. Let even us be righteous. Or may we be righteous also. You can almost add an also because of the present. Not that we're dynamically equivalenting here, but we're trying to give the stress of the hemes, see, that force of the hemes being present. All right, any other questions on three? All right, four. Let's read that. What do we got there?
Enarche.
Enarche. Ha. Logos.
Equeta.
Equeta. All right, that's good. What do we have there?
In the beginning.
In the beginning?
The word
was being heard. See, there's the akuo, and it's equeta, and it's the passive. Translating into passive, right?
Right.
Equeta,
all right.
Equeta.
Right, it's a passive.
All right.
Perfect
passive. Okay. Equeta. Let's check the form on that. Yes, because it's the imperfect. Yes, was being. Yes, all right. The thing that I was looking at on that was that if it were anything but the imperfect, there wouldn't be a passive because there's a particular passive voice form, see, when you get into the passive. It's different from the middle. But, yes, I was forgetting that is a middle, and it is an imperfect. So you got the augment, the syllabic augment, akuo raised to the A, akueta, right.
Now, is it critical, to have the being in there, was being, that's kind of...
Well, it was heard, you know, it was heard, that's right.
When
you know,
we're actually translating, say, for instance, the English...
You can say it was heard if you want
it,
to, you know, simpler form.
To, okay.
But you, the thing, the being, the meaning of the imperfect, see?
Right.
The force of the imperfect, that's the durative, linear,
right.
See?
The being
continuous action, progressive.
To have a durative.
That's
if
right.
If we were to translate was heard, we would have a tendency
that's
to
right.
think of an aorist.
Aorist, that's
would,
right. That's right. That's right. Exactly right. Point action, see, functilia. You see, in the present tense in the English, you have I hear, I am hearing, I do hear. So you've got three forms we can pick. I hear is the simple present. I am hearing is the continuous progressive present. See, continuous. And I do hear is the emphatic present. Somebody says, you don't hear. I do hear, see. It's that, I do hear, see. That's it. But see, all these are present. We've got a real facility in the English language of pinpointing what we really mean. And the Greek has a facility too. And the two languages are very well welded together.
It's just amazing that when I think about it, and as we're studying here, that I'm a little more aware of my writing in English to understand, hey, what am I really saying? Before, I kind of mixed
yeah.
a lot of
yeah.
I do and I...
Yeah,
that kind
yeah.
of thing.
Well, that's
so
true.
I really mixed it up. And
that's right.
It's always making it all in one. It's not true.
No, that's right.
English has a little more
the variety and specific.
Variety
that's right.
Specificity.
Right.
And,
specificity. It's almost like the Greek.
Yeah.
It is very good. Well, that's good. I'm glad that this does. It gets us right into our own vocabulary and what we're doing in our compositions. All right. What do we got now? That's the next one. We finished with that one.
Okay.
Was being heard or was heard, either one. And five, then. Give us the Greek on that.
Dechometha.
Tain.
Marturian.
Autu. Okay, what does that say? Dechomai is to receive, right? So dechometha would be...
We may receive?
Well, see, it's the...
May we receive again, so may we receive.
See, remember, dechomai, though, is a deponent, verb.
Right.
See, it's a deponent verb, it's a defective verb. So,
though
it's middle in form, it may be
active
in meaning.
In meaning.
That's right.
Well, it is active in meaning.
That's right.
So it's let us receive...
That's right.
...the...
witness of him or his witness. That's right. Let us receive his witness. That's right. So that's it. We use a hortatory subjunctive again, the deliberative let us type of thing. All right, any questions on five? All right, six. Let's read the Greek first. What do we have there?
Ekuon.
Ekuon.
Tone.
Phonon. Tone.
Doulon.
Tone doulon. All right, what does that say? Ekuon from akuo.
Well, I guess it could be they... were hearing?
They were hearing. That's the imperfect, isn't it?
The voice of the servant.
The voice? Mm-hmm. Singular?
The voices.
The voices, right. They were hearing the voices of the servants. Okay? They were hearing the servants' voices.
Now that's in what, ablative?
Ablative or genitive?
Well, it's in the genitive,
but it's after because they're hearing of. That's right.
Cool.
That's right. Because you're hearing of something, like you taste of something. See, you don't hear it all, but you hear of it. You hear something of it. See, you don't hear all the top and the bottom scale, I guess, of sound, but you hear of it, taste of it. All right, that's good. Any questions further on that? Be the ablative, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, cool. All right, let's go then to the English, number one. Let us not answer him. There's a hortatory subjunctive. You've got to answer, of course, apokrino, isn't it? Apokrinomai.
Apokrinomai. Apokrinomai.
Apokrinomitha.
Yeah.
Right? Krinomitha, because krinomai is a deponent verb, so you'd have to have it in the middle form, see? Right? Apokrinomitha. Isn't that right?
Is it?
Apokrinomai. I guess it would be krinomai.
It's not
an
active.
No.
Krinomai is a deponent.
Oh, is a deponent.
Deponent, yeah.
Oh,
apokrinomai.
Yeah, right. That's right. So you have to take the... Okay. All right.
So...
And it's not... I think I used the wrong one. So it would be
May. So it would be may. Yeah, it would be may apokrinomitha because you have a subjunctive. See, so rather than oo.
You don't take luke.
No, so you'd have to have the may because subjunctive, see.
That's right.
See,
I remember that.
See, it's a hortatory subjunctive. May apokrinomitha, then what? Him. Accusative. Huh?
Auton.
Auton, no, that's the ablative and genitive plural, auton, which we need.
Auton.
Okay, that's good. Auton. Rather than auton, see. He was saying genitive ablative to my ear, but...
Oh, no, see, I was using auton. The ablative there because of the aquo.
Let's not answer. Is answer one of these words?
Yeah.
Oh, I, I, I want answer to him like it did.
Oh, yeah. Is that one of these words?
Yeah, they used them, I think, in paragraph 175, but up on top of page 177. He answered the child. They did it that way.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, all right. You're perfectly well. They have a block of instrumental native.
It's like an indirect object.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I
just the kindness. All right, I think that's good. Here to him.
Well, which one? Is there either
well,
one?
I think either one's all right, isn't it?
I would think so.
Because it just says sometimes.
And the meaning of the word is kind of right. Many verbs are followed by the genitive case, many by the dative case, with the corresponding. Maybe in the objective. It's very well likely that this apocrinomai always has the dative case after it, in which case we probably should be strictly following that, and I think Steve's form is best. Yeah,
the dative accents the personal interest.
Yeah. Answers to the child, and a right to him. I serve him. The problem is, we don't have a list of verbs in this book where we can always remember as we're doing this from English to Greek, this is it. So for that purpose, I would be a little more lax if you want to have the accused like in English, fine. Now, if you remember this, Steve did very cogently, remember this example, that's perfect. That is really what we should do, see. But to remember...
That's not a problem when you're translating from the
Greek. No, it isn't. It's already there. But see, it's the English to Greek that's a problem with us. All right, anything else on one? Let us not answer as me apokrinomatha auto, to be strictly sanitary. But if you have auton, that's fine. But if you have outtone, that's an error. Right, Steve?
Right.
All right, let's go on to two. Let us salute the apostles. Page 77, exercise 176. Let us salute the apostles as well. Salute is greet. Aspazomai. So it's a defective verb.
Aspazomatha.
That's right. Aspazomatha. 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 The apostles. Now, greet, is it to the apostles? You got me. See, it could be.
Salute is a more of a...
With a greet to the, with the dative, you mean?
Of course, that is a response. A salute is kind of a form greet. Of an announcement or acknowledgement.
So did you put it in the dative?
No, I put
or
it in
accusative?
The accusative.
Well, yeah, normally we put it in the accusative. Now, whether this is one of those verbs, I haven't memorized all the verbs that have this and that and the other. Now, cool of, all right, we can remember that, but...
If they're talking about using the data for a personal type of situation, maybe it should be, if I didn't use it that time either.
Yeah. Now, this is to greet. Now, let me just look under akul, just to see if the analytical Greek lexicon would give us.
I wonder where it would be in here.
All right, look it up, Dana and Manny, too.
Do you know how to use this thing?
Look on the index first. Look in the index and
for
see, maybe, Steve.
Under what data?
Yeah, maybe datas. Here's a cool future and so on and so forth. First passive means to hear, to hearken, listen to, so on. But see, they don't say in this that it takes the dative or this and that. That's a problem. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, if this analytical would say following this is the ablative. Huh? It doesn't say that, and I didn't think it did, but I hoped it might. What do you have in that? Any verbs there?
Page numbers under sections.
Datives. Says the dative.
It does talk about using it as an indirect object in the dative case.
As an indirect object. But here is almost a direct object, isn't it, in English? What we're using here.
The
salute to the apostles, that's all right if you want. It almost seems like answering to the child and serving to him, but who knows? If you have the accusative, fine. If you have the dative, fine. Let's make it either or. Tous apostolos. All right, tous apostolos. All right, any questions on two? All right, aspazomatha, tous apostolos. Number three, let us receive the truth in order that we may know it. Would be what? This is hortatory again. Receive is lambano or decomai. Decomai is all right. Decomai is a deponent verb. So it's decomatha, right? Let us receive, decomatha, the truth and the direct dative, or not dative, but accusative. Probably. I wouldn't think receive to the truth. I wouldn't think, I think it'd be right. Truth is he aletheia. So it'd be tain aletheon. Right? Tain aletheon. Theon, yeah. Tain aletheon. And then, in order that, henna. That's right, henna. We may know it. It's again subjunctive. And made to know is oida. Or a gnosko. We've learned gnosko in there, yeah.
Gnoskomen.
That's right. Auton, or autain. Autain, which you have to have the feminine.
It'll be autain.
Yeah. So, let us receive, dechomatha, the truth, tain aletheon, in order that henna, we may know, gnoskomen, autain. That's right. Got that? It's interesting. I was listening to, I don't listen very often to Charles Swindoll the other night. Sometimes I listen, but he made reference to a man, Mr. Wilson or something, some Greek thing, see. And I was mentioning it to Ruth the other day. It sounded like Charles didn't know too much Greek himself as authority, but he quoted this man who seemed to know, and he used the word, what was the word? I think it was aletheia or something like aletheia. That's what called up my mind. And he said, the word is aletheas. Well, it's aletheia, you know. But he said, you know, like it was the first nominative case, and it was the genitive. He gave the genitive to this guy who was supposed to be such a Greek authority. I just chuckled, and I told that to Ruth. Of course, we can be a little hypocritical at times. But I don't know. It wasn't aletheia, but it was something like that. It was something that ended, you know, in that form. Of course, I knew that, and I listened to it. And I just sort of laughed. I was in the car, I guess, once over. So I mentioned it. In fact, I wanted to be sure. I don't ever like to criticize wrongfully. So I looked it right up in the analytical when she was here, and sure enough, that was what it was, aletheia versus aletheias. I forget the word, but it was one of them. Oh, let me see. Oh, yeah, here's what, porneia. He's talking about fornication. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good lesson on fornication. We know it's abstain from fornication. He's talking on 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 or thereabouts, this is the will of God, that ye abstain from fornication. See? And he said, it's porneas. Well, it's pornea. See, you know, it's the porneas. It's a genitive, see, but pornea is a regular noun. All right.
A light Greek scholar, sort of like me.
Well, you know, he didn't say he was a Greek scholar, but he's quoting him from the Greek and sort of filling him up. I never heard of this man, whoever his name was, but anyway, that doesn't mean he's not proper in his credentials. I haven't heard a lot of people, but all right, let's see. That was three. Let's go to four. He was preaching the gospel of the new covenant. Preached, of course, is keruso. Is it kerusomai? Is it kerusomai? Keruso, huh? Keruso. All right, ek keruse. He was preaching. This is the imperative, the imperfect. Is it ek keruse? Ek keruse. 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 You're right. Ek keruse. Keruson ses set. That's right. Somen sete son. You're right. Set. You're right. Keruse. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. He was preaching. You're right. Keruse. That's right. He was preaching. Go ahead. The gospel. Tain. It's ha evangelion. Ta evangelion. See, it's a neuter. It's ta evangelion. So it'd be ta evangelion.
This is. I didn't.
Yeah, it's taught evangelion.
No, you didn't. It's the neuter, but it's the wrong.
Yeah, you didn't think that.
Well, I consistently blew it because for some reason I thought it was.
Now, if you've got a better specimen than your others and you can produce it, we'll switch over the grade. How's that fair enough? Mm-hmm. If you can bring your other specimen next time, your new regular art.
My new?
Your regular, your old first draft of your art. Of your,
well, that's all right.
Of your sentences.
Okay.
That's all right.
I feel pretty good so far.
That's good. All right, any questions? He was preaching the gospel of the new covenant.
Right.
Diatheke is covenant, and new is Naos or kainos, either one. Kainos, and that's the one we learned, I guess.
And covenant is...
Diatheke. Hey, diatheke. Hey, diatheke.
So that's a feminine.
That's feminine. Hey, diatheke. So it would be taste, diathekes, and then nu. Hey, kainé, right? Hey, kainé. Hey, kainé, you're right. Have to agree with it in gender and case. All right, he was preaching the gospel. Ekeruseth, tain evangelion. Ta-angelion, yes, right. Ta-angelion. Tase, diathekes, kines of the New Covenant. I'm wondering how we... I'm sure they have some articles switched around a little bit on that. The covenant, the new one, see? Tase, diathekes, tase. You know, it's not... It's a you may still have taste, kines, the new, the covenant, the new. See, you know, they got the attributive and
remember,
verse pregative. You have to be attributive because this is attributive. So anyhow, we're not going to be too choosy about the articles.
I guess
if you say taste, kines, diathekes, see, that would be the way to handle it. Taste, kines, diathekes, or taste, diathekes. Taste kinase.
Right,
but you
exactly.
See, attributive must have the article, generally speaking.
Exactly.
So you see, you should put the article.
That,
we'll overlook that. So
you
won't be.
You mean you
right?
Have the article with.
Before,
be
with
both,
taste kinase.
Both
either that or taste kinase diathekes. See, that's right, that's okay.
Right,
yeah, that's
the,
good. Yeah,
right.
That's good. Or if you want to say taste, the
I think
it's taste kinase.
Right.
That's all
I
right,
put
too.
It in both places on my other one. I
yeah.
Remember,
all right. Number five. He is able to take away our sins. He is able, of course, is dunamai, which is a deponent verb. He is able.
So
instead of dunamai,
so
it's
dunatai.
Dunatai. Right? Dunatai. He's able to take away. Aireo is the word, is it not? Aireo?
Yes,
so, Irene, he is able to take away our sins, the sins of us.
Okay, so that would be Hamartias.
Hamartias, that's He, Hamartia. So it would be take away Tas, Hamartias, take away Tas, Hamartias, of us, Humon. Of us. Hemon, excuse me. Hemon, see. See, hemes is nominative. It's the sins of us, our sin.
Oh,
you have to have hemon, see, of us, the sins of us, right?
Yeah, okay, right.
And it's these sins, it's he harmatia, and so therefore it'd be tas hamartias, the sins, direct, that's the accusative, tas hamartias, right? Plural accusative of the feminine article. Are any questions on that one? Dunatai is able. Hairain to take away.
Now, do we drop on
Tainar Martian?
Dunamai.
Hemon.
It has an alpha. Do we drop that alpha and put the etai? Put the
Dunatai. No.
I thought you left it. Is
Dunatai. Yeah, Dunatai. Yes, I think so. Dunamai.
Dunatai is a supposed to dunatai.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you got that, huh?
Right. Because I don't think you only drop my.
How are you supposed to know that?
Well, I don't know. Except in the alpha stem.
The ending is
has the alpha stem. See?
He has the alpha
Duna,
stem.
Yeah,
so
instead of the epsilon.
Atai.
Dunamai.
Do you want to put
that? Yeah, I think that's right. I don't know how you'd. No, that other than that's part of the root, I guess. Duna. Huh?
He's right, it did talk about that.
Yeah, it's the thematic vowel. It's one of those background things that we didn't really discuss in detail. Probably should have, now that it's a question.
Okay, it's on page 70, paragraph A there, just above there. It says, Dunamai does not have a thematic vowel.
Oh, yes.
It appears in all persons.
All persons, that's good. There you go. Dead to rights, a cold type. Okay, Dunatai, you got it. Right, six.
I'll tell you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very good mind to remember that. Let us be led by the Lord into truth. Led, of course, is ago. It's be led, so it's the passive voice. And it's the passive subjunctive because it's led us.
So it's ago.
Ago. Not agomen. That would be agometha, see. The active would be agomen. See, this let us be led. Be led would be the passive, see. Agomometha, that's right. Agometha, let us be led by the Lord.
Agometha, isn't it?
Well, you don't have any augment in the subjunctive.
No,
see.
Oh,
subjunctive has no augment. See. Yeah, no augment in the subjunctive. Let us be led by the Lord. Hupa. Genitive to kuriu. To kuriu.
Ace.
Alethean. Right. In the accusative. Let us be led. Agometha. Hupa tu kuriu, by the Lord, ace into alethan, or tain alethan, into the truth. Okay. Any questions on any of those? The 76 of those, we're going to get more points on the other one. So,
what are we doing with all these, with the breathing marks?
How to breathe the marks wrong? Well, what he got in the word? Take a half off.
He's got the word.
Oh,
he got
the word.
Breathing marks.
He's got some breathing marks off?
Yeah.
Well, take a half point off it for breathing. See, that's not the full mark, but at least it's half. Because we got a lot of words, a lot of points. We got a lot of big base on that. I don't think it's going to hurt him. Has he got quite a few that are off it?
No, he doesn't.
A couple points. Yeah, all right. If you take a half off, he can get four before he loses two, which is... We're going to have a big base on this. We're going to have a total of 147. So,
147?
Yeah, that's going to be total. All right, let's go to the next one, which is what? Is it 188?
Okay.
Is it 188? 188. Okay. Let's read the Greek first. 188, sentence number one. Greek to English. Exercise. Eltha. Ace. Ton.
Oikon.
Eltha, ace, ton, oikon. All right, good. By the way, man, I find that this type of a situation is very helpful in these exercises because you can see at a glance. Here's your indicative, subjunctive. You want the middle voice, active, middle passive. You know, you can just flip through. It's really, I think, it'd be a helpful type of a tool to see what to form because you can see them right in there. They're clear and they're, you know, you don't have to leaf back and forth as well. Anyway, go ahead. Eltha, eston, oikon. What does that mean?
He went into the house.
He went or he came into the house. Right. Either one. You know, it's interesting. Talk about went and come.
Went is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, I don't know, what does it say, Eltha? Eltha, does it say go or come?
It says both.
Where is it? Page 78. Yeah, I went or I came. Okay. Either one. No, it's interesting.
When you use...
Depends on the vantage point, what you're looking at.
Right. Doesn't the preposition help us any
Yes, it would.
If it's ace, that's...
He went into, or he came
into. He came into, yeah, that's right. Either one, yeah. Could be both, yeah.
Where are you looking,
yeah.
Right?
The point of it is, I'm studying now, man. I'm looking and listening to it on the tapes. I'm listening to the King James Version. And then my eyes, as I told you maybe before, I'm the new King James Version. I'm using that this year. I'm going through the whole thing and analyze it, like I did the AB 1611 last year. I haven't written up my report yet on that, but I finished all the data, and now I've got to, you know, type it up and offer it. But the New King James Version, practically every time you get the halak, to go or to come in Hebrew. I'm in the Old Testament, obviously, in the book of Genesis still. But come and go. Every time the King James Version says go, the New King James Version says come. Or vice versa, come and go. I don't know why, but they just, you know, it's the same thing here. We're talking about the same thing. Maybe they just want to be different. I can't understand it, but practically every time. Now, it's close enough to the King James, that I can, at the full speed of listening, you know, I've got to really be fast, I can parenthesize in red, you know, words that are changed, so I can get that quick picture. And things that are very, you know, very strange and that I want to make a remark on, well, I maybe stop the tape, so on, and I'm up to remark maybe 62 or something, this is the 17th day, you know, so I have a few remarks I want to say. There are a lot of subjunctives they throw out, which just grates against my English blood, you know, as far as English language is concerned. In other words, instead of, oh, that you might be this, oh, that you might, that you are this or something. You know, they change it. If you, let's see, if you were this, you know, is a subjunctive. They would say, if you was or not was, or if you are. So they wouldn't put the subjunctive in a lot of things. But one of the things I noticed was the come and the go. So.
But it was just interesting that to me, came, went and came are two perspectives.
That's right. They sure are.
And that's why it's, you know, the same word, but two perspectives.
In the Old Testament, they used to say it both ways, you know. Jacob went and he came to so and so.
Yeah, that's right.
They did that all the time.
Now, but did they use halak in both instances? To
I
come?
Think so, yeah.
I think so too, yeah.
He went and, you know, halak, he went and halak, he came.
Right. He arrived.
Yeah, but at least he went meant that, you know, he left, and then after he got halfway, he was coming.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
You're
right.
Yeah,
if somebody's waiting for him, obviously he's coming,
right.
Not going.
That's right.
Some don't know whether they're coming or going. That's the sad thing. And that's our problem with Elphon, isn't it?
Also, Erechemiah is the same thing, I think.
Yes, Erechemiah is the same thing. Remember, then I think we did discuss that on the Lord Jesus in John 14. If I go away, I will come again, receive unto myself, and what the verbs are, and so on. It's perspective, as Manny said. All right, where are we? All right, that's he came unto the house, or he went unto the house. All right, number two. Read the Greek on that one. Is what?
Ephagamon.
What's your accent?
Ephagamon.
All right, careful.
Ephagamon.
All right, Ephagamon. Ephagamon.
Arton.
Arton. All right, good. What's that?
We ate the bread.
That's it. The accusative or the aorist of estio. Eat. All right. Number three. The Greek first.
En.
Ta. No.
Ento.
Ento.
Cosmo.
Ein.
Kai.
Cosmos.
Who's
that? D. Yeah, from Dia. It's an elision from Dia.
Diao 2.
Agenata. All right, this is right from John 1. John 1. What's that say?
In the world,
he was.
He was in the world.
In the world.
Right, in the world he was, all right.
In the world.
Diao 2.
Through him or by him,
that's right.
By him.
See, Dia with the genitive is by or through, means... Agenata came into being, was, or
okay,
came.
Became.
That's right. It became.
Okay. I really messed that up. I said no. I think I thought that was Gnosko.
Oh, instead of Agenata. I see.
No.
Mm-hmm. From Ginnomai came to be. And this is.
How would you translate that literally? Then he was in the world, and the world by him.
Was made, or came into being, or was, or became. Yeah. Almost similar to create, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, came into being, or was, or became. Mm-hmm.
That you say that's a direct quote
from John 1. I think just about exactly. John 1. It's John 1
so
10. John
1 10.
That. Yes, that's probably why. And of course, we've had it in our lesson today, didn't we? Again, Agenomai, and Agenomai. Agenomain, remember? Agenomain, was
it? Yes. Is Agenata a form of to be then?
Well, it's similar. It's in the translation. Oh, you got it right there. 110, is it?
Yeah.
Is it 110 or 11?
For what?
Agenata. Oh, it's up in 3, isn't it? 1-3, yeah. Okay. That's it. Is it 3? No, wait a minute. No, it's 110. I thought it was 110. Yeah, and cosmos. Yeah, and to cosmo ein, kara cosmos diao tu agenata. That's exactly right. 110.
Yeah, it's 10.
I didn't know what that D was either. I didn't realize.
Yeah, from
dia.
Dia.
They eliminate the alpha.
We had that in our.
And the reason for the D, the eliminating the alpha, is why? What's
well,
the reason?
The al two starts with.
Starts with the vowel. So many times they swallow up that one vowel by elision. Okay, any other questions on that? All right, what is that? We finished reading it. We've translated it, so we're ready to go on to the next one, aren't we? All right, what is the 4?
H.
Now, you said, was that a part of the verb to be? Let's just check on that, the meaning of it, ginomai. It's sort of a wide-ranging word, ginomai. It's got a lot of different words under it.
They said it was ginomai.
Yeah, that's right.
The second heiress of ginomai.
Oh, yes, but what I mean in the meaning of it, I tell you that.
Well, to be?
To come into existence, see, is what it says. To be created, see, to exist. These are some of the meanings now the analytical Greek lexicon gives. To exist by creation, see. To be born, to produce, to grow, to arise, to come on, to occur. See, this aginomai is such a wide-ranging word. It really is. To be, it depends on the context. To be appointed, constituted, established. See, aginomai, there's so many words, meaning to take place, to come to pass, to happen, to occur. See,
yes,
so it's obviously the context determines the shade of this word.
It's interesting. It's aorist, which means a point action.
That's right.
Boom, you came in.
That's right, just like that. It wasn't a lot, no evolution there. That's a good point.
Big Bang Theory.
You know what Pastor says? He says if there was a Big Bang Theory, then God caused the Big Bang. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, in this same context, in the analytical, is genea, he genea, which is progeny or generation of mankind. See? A generation, and also genesi, genesia rather, genesia, hey genesia, ta genesia, a day observed in the memory of the dead. It's interesting, equivalent to genethlia, celebration of one's birthday, because it's your birth, genesia, the one you're generated, you're begun, and genesis, hey genesis, so on. So genete, geneme, genao. See, genao is also part of that. Remember, we went into that one time. That's to be born, to beget, to generate, a woman to bring forth. See, and genema, that which is born or produced. Genesis, the birth or nativity. Genetos, that which is produced. Genos, which is a progeny or a family. Genesios, lawful or legitimate as children. And genesios, genuinely, sincerely. Gonus, which is a father, parents. In other words, there's so many words under genomai. It's really a pregnant word, and genos, it really is genomai. Are there any questions on that one? All right, four. Did we read the Greek first, please?
Ace.
Ta.
Idia.
Aelthen.
Kai.
Poi. Idioi. Auton,
who?
Paralabon. That's John 1:11. They write down the line. 10, or maybe even in 10. 10 and 11. So what do you have there?
I figured it was, but I had problems with that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it wasn't translated.
Go ahead. Ashta.
And I thought that was plural.
It is. Neuter plural.
Into their own.
Into his own.
His own words, like
his own things.
Own
things. See, it's neuter.
See, I was trying to make everything plural.
That is plain, to his own things.
No, but even the possessive of being
own.
Oh. That's why I translated it incorrectly.
Into their own things.
I
knew
it, yeah. But it makes sense, and I made it all
well,
plural.
Well, see, here it's he came. Elfen is he came. See, so singular. Into his own things. Into the things. Into the things,
yeah.
See?
Right.
He came to the things.
He came into his own.
And if you use the ta as the same thing as a possessive,
yeah.
He's got his things.
Right.
And really, this means, exegetically, I believe, the things which he made, his creation, his creative works.
Right.
Because in the previous verse it says, all things came into being by him.
Right.
See?
I always assumed it was Israel. You know, he came into his own people.
All right, but the next one is. Kai hoi idioi. That's a masculine plural. And his own people, see? That's his own individual human beings. That's right in the same verse.
And that's why I
did not receive it. Yeah, did not receive it. Yeah.
But now it's translated his own in both cases.
Oh, I know. That's right. That's right. Which is all right. Came into his own and his own received him out. See, fine. You don't say his own, you know,
well,
what it means.
That's interesting because he came into his own creation.
That's right.
His
own,
and then also
his own people.
That he
that's
created,
right.
His people.
Did not resist, especially the Jews. Especially,
yeah.
It's excellent.
Which is the Jews.
Yeah, the Jews himself, right. That's an excellent way of looking at it. So it did not receive it. So any questions on four then?
Yeah, well, I know I'm translating now.
Oh, okay. All right, how about five? What do you got in the Greek there? You ready for four? I got them all corrected? All right, number five. What does that say? First of all, by reading.
Tauta.
Tauta. Apon. Humin. So here you see, you have an accent, see? Humin, see? Estin, but humin, because it's accent. I think so. Humin. All right, go ahead.
And
to. Chiaro, chiaro, okay? Chiaro. All right, what do we have?
These things.
Left.
He left.
Not he. It has to be they. Apon is not left. Lapon is left. But Apon is from Lego, to say. All right? These things they spoke.
To us.
Or I spoke. Could be I spoke or they spoke to us.
In
the temple. All right, I spoke these things, or they spoke these things
okay.
in the temple.
But you say, he could say this too. He said it, right? These things were said?
No, that would be the passive.
Let me see.
Were
these
said.
Were,
see, that would be the passive. And it wouldn't be the passive. That's an active voice.
That's
see.
Right.
So he said these things.
I'm trying to figure out how that, these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
In the temple. Any questions further on five? All right, six. What do we have for six?
What is humin?
Humin, to us. To you, excuse me. Humin, to you. Dative, locative, instrumental, dative of to you. You
it's
see,
easy to forget.
That's right. You had them in that final,
I
and it worked all right.
And
but it's hard to forget anyhow. Si, see, as the you, and then su, se, see, and then the plural starts with humase, and then humon, humin, and then
humas.
That's it. You got it. And it's hamin and hamase and hamon if it's the us, but you would be the other. The hu upsilon. All right. Any questions on that? Those are things we've got to really pin down though, because that humin and hamin they're used lots. All right. Six.
Meta.
Tauta, apethanen, technon. All right, what is that?
After these things,
the child died. Very good. Any questions on six? After these things, the child died. All right, let's go to number two part here, the English to the Greek. He died on the third day, number one. He died on the third day. He died, of course, as apothenesco, and apethanon is your aorist form.
Apethane,
or an if you want to have a new, movable new. Apethane.
N.
On the third day.
Te.
Probably a locative instrumental data. Te. Trite, hemera. Yeah, trite. Remember, that's trite. It's in one of these exercises, and they give us an example. En te trite hemera. Trite hemera. It's plis, but trite is the word. All right, he died on the third day. All right, any questions on one? All right, he took the bread and ate it. He had understood. And by the way, this New King James Version, a lot of times when it isn't there, they put in the yet in italics, or the regular King James doesn't to have it and assumes it. They add a number of words, New King James Version, you don't need the words. And furthermore, I found them three or four times where they take a he, just like the NIV has done. They take a he went into the store, and they put Joseph went into the store. Because from the context, obviously, that he referred to it, and they put the antecedent, and they changed the pronoun to the noun, see. And I'm anxious to see how often this is done. In Genesis, I found maybe four or five times that is done, which, you know, is sort of appalling, because that's not translation. That's, you know, that's exegesis interpretation, and it may even be right. And it may refer to Joseph or whatever, but,
you haven't found them to be wrong yet, have you, with the antecedent, put the wrong one in?
Not yet on that, no. No, I didn't find the NIV wrong either on that particular, unless there'd be some points you could quibble on, but basically, and that may be fine, but still, is that translation from the language to the language? That's the question. All right, that was number one. Number two, he took the bread and ate it. What is that? Take to take is lambano, to receive, or dechamai is he to take. Lambano, I guess, would be a take. He took. Elabe, that's it, elabe. He took, second aorist. He took the bread, accusative. Ton, arton, the bread. Kai. Estheo is the present, and ephagon is the aorist. Ephage. Auton, or just plain ephagon. Ephage is an eight. You don't even have to put it is in parenthesis because you don't even really need it.
Oh, they do that in the Gospels, right?
Yeah.
I noticed.
So they took the bread and ate. Mm-hmm. It is understood. So you can, if you have it in the auton, that's fine, but you don't need it. All right, number, any question on two? All right, number three then. The disciples obtained good promises. Obtain is to get. Tunkano is to obtain, but also echo is to have. And
so it's under the...
What verb are they using? Echo?
Echo.
Echo, so it's eskon.
Yes,
eskon. Oh, to get. To receive. Paralambano. All right. So if it's eskon, it'd be what? The disciples.
Hoi
mafe tai. Hoi mafe tai. The disciples. Eskon. They Eskon, see? Wouldn't it be?
See?
Eskon. They obtained good promises. Accusative. Promises is Epangelia, is it not? So it'd be Tas Epangelias, wouldn't it? And then it'd be good agathes, agathas. Tas, agathas, epagalias, right? Tas, agathas, epagalias.
They probably use it, but you don't
need it. Oh. Well, I guess that's true, except if you want to make the attributive actually clear. That's the only. You wouldn't, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
The Greeks like to use the
article. How would you translate it without the article? I mean,
the promises are good, you could say. You really could. Obtain good promises.
Well,
obtain.
The context,
yeah, the context have to be good promises. So that's it. I think so. I usually do for attributive. Yeah, whenever you have an adjective in there, I think you should stick it in. But if you don't have it, if you don't have it, you don't. I'm not going to count off. Paralambano, yeah, if you want to. That's close enough. Received, obtained. There's a special word for obtain, which is tunkano, I believe, and things. There's different words in Greek, but that's good. That's good. Either one of them. Eskon or paralambano. All right, what's the next one? They came and saw where he was abiding. That's right, Elthon. That's right, Elthon. Erchomai and Elthon, right? They came and be what? Elthon, the same form. Elthon and saw. To see is horao, and the aorist is what? Adon. Think about it.